Radio Prague News.
Czech President Václav Klaus has asked his Ukrainian counterpart for reassurances that a trial against a former prime minister is not political. The Anti-Monopoly Office has prohibited Czech Railways from purchasing 16 railjet trains by manufacturer Siemens. And the Czech National Football Squad is readying for a friendly against Norway. Czech President Václav Klaus has asked his Ukrainian counterpart Viktor Yanukovych for reassurances that the case against former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko is not political. The information was revealed by the presidential office's spokesman Radim Ochvat on Tuesday. In a letter to the Ukrainian head of state, Mr. Klaus reportedly stressed that he had no reason not to trust the impartiality of the Ukrainian judiciary or to doubt the independence of its courts. At the same time, he asked for personal reassurances of the president that neither personal nor political discord on Ukraine's political scene was behind current developments. In the case against Yulia Tymoshenko, she has been accused of having harmed the state when she signed a contract on the purchase of Russian gas in 2009. The country's anti-monopoly office has prohibited Czech Railways from purchasing 16 railjet trains produced by Siemens. The deal is worth nearly 5 billion crowns and would be the country's largest ever investment in long-distance trains. The decision is a preliminary measure resulting from a complaint lodged by Škoda Transportation, which has questioned the deal's transparency and claimed it is capable of offering Czech Railways cheaper trains of comparable quality. The manufacturer has also charged that the Siemens trains, which can travel at speeds of 230 kilometers, are unnecessary for Czech railway routes, where trains travel a maximum of 160. Czech Railways plans to appeal the Anti-Monopoly Office's decision. Organizers of a gay rights festival, which begins in Prague on Wednesday, say they expect a turnout of more than 7,000 people during a planned parade. Prague Pride, offering dozens of events through to Sunday, is the first festival of its kind in the Czech Republic. The planned events, however, have come under fire from ultra-conservatives and provoked highly controversial remarks from some officials. Petr Hájek, a close aide to President Václav Klaus, for example, referred to homosexuals as deviants in connection with the event. The president later backed Mr. Hájek by calling deviant a neutral term. At a press conference in Prague on Wednesday, the head of Prague Pride, Czeslav Valek, suggested that those who held similar opinions in the Czech Republic were few, while guest speaker Radim Špaček, a well-known film director, called Czech society tolerant. No special steps have been taken regarding security during the festival, although one event was called off for security reasons. Turning to sport now, the Czech national football squad is readying for a friendly against Norway. Its final international match before qualifying for Euro 2012 resumes in September. The Czechs will face the Norwegian squad in Oslo on Wednesday. Team coach Michal Bielek said that his side needed a good result to improve the atmosphere ahead of the upcoming qualification matches. New players nominated to the squad include Marcel Getzov and Tomáš Bekart. Regulars like goalie Petr Čech and striker Milan Baroš are also on the roster. Finally, a quick look at the weather. Wednesday is expected to be largely overcast with some sunny periods. Daytime temperatures should reach highs of around 17 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Velinker, and that's all the news for now.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Sarah Borůvka. Coming up in today's program, amidst fears of another global recession, the Czech economic recovery shows signs of slowing down. The actress and communist apologist Jiřina Švorcová has died. And later in Czech history, we hear about the life and times of banker Jaroslav Preiss. All that and more coming up, so do stay with us. Amidst fears of a new wave of global recession, the Czech economic recovery shows signs of slowing down, with industrial output decreasing in June and unemployment on the rise in July. According to data released by the Labour Ministry, the unemployment rate grew slightly to 8.2% in July, the first time the figure has swelled since the start of this year. Similarly worrying is a slowdown in industrial output, with a growth of only 7.4%. 9.2% year-on-year in June as compared to 15.2% in May. I spoke to the Raiffeisen Bank's chief economist, Pavel Mertlik, about the significance of these figures and how a possible global economic recession might affect the Czech Republic.
If you look generally at the Czech labor market situation compared to other countries on the European continent, according to Eurostat figures, which have different methodology, the Czech unemployment rate is slightly above 6%, while the European average is close to 10%. So the unemployment situation in the Czech Republic is not so bad. However, we don't see any strong triggers for increase of economic growth in the Czech Republic, on the contrary. So relatively high unemployment will persist during this and the other calendar year.
Another figure that was also released is figures regarding industrial output, which has slowed down. Could you just explain why you think that is and what implications it has for the economy overall?
Definitely manifests that the growth momentum is over, not just for the Czech economy, it's a global development. If you look at forward-looking indicators like purchases, they are dropping down in the United States, in Europe, in China, elsewhere. And if you look to the Czech Republic, this is reflected not only in industry development, but particularly in factory orders, which are now 5% increase of in year-on-year terms. But during last 2 years, it was always something between 10 and 20%, figures like 12, 15 were normal. But since the beginning of the second quarter of this year, the new industrial orders or factory orders dropped to figures like 5, 6% year on year. So it clearly shows that the external demand is decreasing or at least decelerating, and the industry is decelerating as such. So we expect that the economic growth in next year will be similarly slow as in this calendar year, whatever the global development will be. And certainly there is the risk of new global recession, which is something which is heavily discussed during recent days and hours.
You have already alluded to the stock market plunge and the downgrading of the U.S. credit rating. How else could this affect Europe and especially the Czech Republic?
Well, as regards the Czech Republic, certainly it's a small open economy. It's very much dependent on the development in Europe and worldwide. The good point for the Czech Republic is that its public finance are comparatively in order, and structurally the economy is quite strong. For example, it has now for almost 8 years each year a positive trade balance. It's very limited current account deficits and so forth. So the exchange rate is stable, or the Czech koruna is appreciating, while, for example, Polish zloty is depreciating. It seems that the investors understand the Czech Republic as a little small safe haven inside the Central and Eastern Europe. The most difficult thing for the Czech Republic definitely will be everything what concerns the possibilities of Czech export. We are export-oriented economy. The role of domestic demand in GDP formation is subdued compared to the dependence on export, and the exports are basically going to Germany and from Germany to the rest of the world. So any contraction in demand in Europe is very much feelable in the Czech Republic.
That was Pavel Mertlík, the Raiffeisen Bank's chief economist, talking about the future of the Czech economy. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. The actress and obstinate apologist of the communist regime, Jiřina Švorcová, died on Monday at the age of 84. Her career in theater, film, and television spanned more than four decades. But most Czechs will remember her as a bizarre figure who never renounced her support of communism, not even after the fall of the totalitarian regime. Jan Richter has more.
The opening score for the 1970s TV series Žena za pultem, or A Woman Behind the Counter, which gave Jiřina Švorcová the biggest role of her life. 9 years after the Soviet occupation of Czechoslovakia, Jiřina Švorcová was at the height of her career, both on stage and in politics. The TV series, which first appeared in 1977, revolves around a shop assistant in a grocery store full of goods that people could hardly find in real-life shops at the time. Irina Švorcová played the lead role in this fine example of communist propaganda. Unlike many of her colleagues, however, she openly supported the totalitarian regime. In 1976, she became a member of the Communist Party's broader leadership. The following year, she delivered an infamous address at a gathering of the country's dramatic artists, denouncing the recently released Human Rights Manifesto, Charter 77.
Proto však také pohrdáme těmi, kdo v neskrotné píše.
In her speech, Irina Švorcová denounced the authors and signatories of Charter 77, including Václav Havel, Pavel Kohout and others, calling them traitors. In an interview with Czech Radio in December 2010, one of her last, she said she still believed what they did was wrong.
I think it's wrong when someone finds out that they could not cope with the idea they helped to bring about. There were many, such as Pavel Kohout, who also believed the idea, but then they couldn't cope with it and so they abandoned it. I think that's wrong.
Unlike many of her colleagues in theater and film who also welcomed the arrival of communism, Irina Švorcová never admitted she might have been wrong. She even endorsed the neo-Stalinist regime established after the Soviet invasion in 1968, although she told Czech Radio she was shocked by what happened.
It was terrible. It was a great shock for everyone. But as soon as people started to attack the Soviet Union, calling them fascists and so on, I just could not do that. I absolutely couldn't do that.
After the fall of communism, Irina Švorcová quit acting. After having spent 40 years at Prague's respected Na Vinohradech Theatre, in November 1989, her colleagues made it clear they no longer wanted to work with her. Instead, she became a regular mascot of Communist Party gatherings, where she would recite poems to a crowd of aging party hardliners, disgruntled with the developments after 1989. Her unwavering support for the communist cause was ultimately the only thing even her dwindling admirers could appreciate.
Jan Richter brought you this report. Thanks, Jan. The name Jaroslav Price does not create many ripples when it is thrown out today. Perhaps one Czech in 100 could identify who he was. But at the birth of Czechoslovakia and in the 1920s and 30s, Price was an economic and business colossus and contributed to making the country into a major industrial player between the wars. Chris Johnstone looks at the life of the controversial figure.
At one level, the life of Jaroslav Price is a classic rags-to-riches story of the man from a modest family who made good. At another, the wheeling and dealing of the man who headed Czechoslovakia's biggest bank, Živnostenská banka, and the industrial empire it created, reads like a who's who and what's what of the interwar era. Strangely, though, for a man who made such a splash at the time in the media, business, industry, politics and the economy, his name does not trip off the lips today, and that has a lot to do with the enemies he made as well, first amongst them the Czechoslovak Communist Party. Ilona Bajantova is a lecturer in law and economics at Prague's Charles University.
Generally, it is said that Jaroslav Price was one of the most influential men during the first Czechoslovak Republic. It is certainly true that he was in charge of Živnostenská banka. But his influence dates from the birth of Czechoslovakia. He was not just a banker, he influenced the functioning of the state, at least at the start of the republic, from an economic perspective.
Price was born in 1870 in a small town a few kilometers south of the West Bohemian city of Pilsen. But the family moved soon after to Domažlice, where he grew up. His father was a modest legal official. After excelling at school, Jaroslav went to Prague to study law. but he did not follow in his father's footsteps. At university, he marked himself out as a leader among a growing band of Czech nationalist students, and thanks to one of the professors of national economy there, stepped into a job as a journalist with the newspaper Narodni Listy at the turn of the century. The paper and its economic correspondent, Jaroslav Price, pushed the line of greater Czech industrial and economic power. Price quickly realized that the road to that came from finance, pointing out the uncomfortable truth that Czech business at the time was mostly stashing its profits in Vienna bank accounts, which allowed them to decide how and where it was used. That realization, together with his growing activity, creating associations for Czech industry, such as the groupings of textile and engineering companies, brought him to the doorstep of the Czech bank Živnostenská banka, which at the time was mainly targeting small businesses. He got a job as a journalist with the bank's weekly financial paper, the first such Czech paper, and a few years later was offered posts within the bank itself, dealing first with mortgage and then industrial loans. Price was already part of an influential group of Czech nationalists that became leaders of an independent Czechoslovakia, and like them he showed during World War I that he was prepared to pay a price for independence.
The whole group around Alois Rašín and Karel Kramáš during the First World War agitated against Austria or Austria-Hungary. In the end, Price was imprisoned for a stand against Austria-Hungary, and the whole group was sentenced to jail. So Price proved that he was willing to fight and perform sacrifices for Czechoslovakia and his idea of freedom.
While Kramar was the first Czechoslovak Prime Minister and Rašín the first Minister of Finance, Price stuck with the bank where he had already been symbolically made director. Here he began to create an economic powerhouse, greatly helped by a law which he helped frame, which ensured that the domestic economy was in local hands.
In the mid to late 1920s, Živnostenská banka had a decisive economic influence. Through shareholdings, it owned around half of industry, and where it did not have shares, it had loans outstanding with major businesses. It is said that some of this stemmed from the fact that Price took part in the formulation of, or rather jointly formulated, the so-called nostrification norms, which came into effect at the start of the 1920s and which called for the Czechification or Czechoslovakization of the industrial sector.
Ilona Bažantová explains how the law worked in the bank's favor.
All big shareholder companies which were not based in Czechoslovakia had to create a headquarters there or give up their Czechoslovak shares. So in this way, industry really became Czechoslovak, and in this way, Živnostenská banka became an industry flagship.
The bank pulled strings in almost all the country's biggest industrial companies, the only real exception being engineering and arms giant Škoda Plzeň, and that was not for want of trying. On the political stage, Price made less impact, partly due to his links with the National Democrats, a party that began losing power and influence almost as soon as it gained it. Throughout most of the interwar period, the Agrarian Party and left-leaning parties were often in control, with the National Democrats gaining few seats and being seen as the voice of big business. The party lost even more influence, and Price, a personal friend, when Alois Rašín was assassinated in 1923. But Price still had some powerful contacts. These included the president, even though the two rarely saw eye to eye on basic questions of political philosophy.
In spite of this, Masaryk really appreciated Price as an expert, and he accepted him on account of his expertise. At the end, during the 1930s, Price was considered for some major functions, such as Minister of Finance. It was even considered that he might have been president under the Second Republic, though that job eventually went to Emil Hácha.
In the political field, Price also made enemies. The left-wing press described him as the shark from Živnostenská banka. Things were not helped by the fact that Price defended his fat cat wage and perks, rumoured to be around 18,000 crowns a day, as being fully merited. The communists hated him, and the feeling was apparently mutual. He also had a very prickly relationship with Czechoslovakia's second president, Edvard Beneš, and the governor of the National Bank, Karel Engliš. During the Depression, Price came to despair ever more of Czechoslovak governments who did not get to grip with the economy, and to admire the success of Hitler's Germany, which he believed did. He was hardly alone in underestimating Hitler, taking the same line as his industrialist friends in Germany, that the Nazi leader could be controlled. But it was ahead of the Munich Agreement that Price got into trouble. He took a totally different line from President Beneš, saying the Czechoslovak state should come to terms with the Sudeten Germans before the terms were forced on the country from outside. Beneš helped make the domestic dispute international, and, as Price warned, an international settlement was imposed. But Price's advocacy of a deal was used against him after World War II, when the communists already were consolidating their hold on the country. He had already stepped down from being the director of the bank before Munich in 1938, but remained in some key positions. When the Nazis took over the country, he refused to cooperate. He was investigated three times by the Gestapo, and on one occasion fined 5 million crowns for sabotage, a charge that could have carried the death penalty. Victory over the Nazis came at a cost for Price, as the communists were intent on getting revenge on their adversary from the First Republic. They wanted to disgrace his reputation as one of the Munich traitors.
The communists tried really hard after 1945 to find some sort of scandal that could show that he became rich in an underhand way or through breaking the law. And in spite of all their attempts, they did not find anything. So we can say that he did not misuse his positions for any personal gain. In this way, I think we can describe him as a very decent and honorable man.
He was detained from the end of May 1945, and in spite of his rapidly deteriorating health, repeatedly questioned. Soon after his release from one session at Prague's Pankrac prison, he died at his Smíchov home in April 1946. Charles University's Ilona Bajantova sums up his reputation, which is still overshadowed by the communist attempts to drag his name through the dirt.
Price was behind the creation of the economic miracle that occurred in Czechoslovakia. In this perspective, we have great debt towards him. We are making some attempts to pay this back, but it is still not enough. We know more about American or British economic leaders than our own Czech or Czechoslovak ones. I think this is a mistake since we have nothing to be ashamed of. Ilona Bajantová was talking there to Chris Johnstone in this edition of Czech History, which first aired in July 2010. We're now rounding off our regular weekday program with our popular Czech language learning program, Sound Czech, brought to you this time by Daniela Lazarová.
Marně si hlavu lámu, proč muži většinou?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Sound Czech, our language series in which you can learn Czech expressions with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is by the country's leading chanson singer Hanna Hegerová, and it is called Tak abyste to věděla, just so you know. The phrase to listen out for is Marně si hlavu lámu.
Marně si hlavu lámu, proč muži většinou neradi vidí dámu chladnou a nečinnou.
Marně si hlavu lámu is the Czech equivalent of I'm racking my brains in vain, although literally it would translate as breaking one's head in vain. Hlava is the Czech word for head and is naturally used in connection with problems that plague one. Dělat si z něčeho hlavu means to let oneself be upset by a problem. If you want to say don't let it bother you in Czech, you say nedělej si z toho hlavu. If on the other hand you're bothered by something, you can say mám z toho velkou hlavu. This problem is giving me a big head, which means you may have to break your head in order to find a solution, as Hanna Hegerová sings in Just So You Know.
Marně si hlavu lámu, proč muži většinou.
On the other hand, if you think the problem is not worth your attention, you can throw it over your head or behind your head. Hoď to za hlavu. Hoď to za hlavu means forget about it. In this connection, you may also hear the phrase Nech to koňovi, má větší hlavu. Leave that problem to the horse, his head is bigger. The word brain teaser in Czech is also expressed with a word head rather than brain. Hlavolam literally means head breaker. And if you want to say that someone is really smart, you can say Má otevřenou hlavu, he has an open head. To admit information, presumably. Now let us listen to Hanna Hegerová racking her brains in vain on why men do not like women to be idle.
Marně si hlavu lámu, proč muži většinou.
I hope that your problems are not head-breaking and that today's Czech lesson has not given you a big head. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me and naschledanou.
Sladkej a milej byl a doopravdy jemně oslovil.
Daniela Lazarová with Soundcheck wrapped up Radio Prague's English show for today. Of course, all our programs and others are available at our internet address radio.cz. And if you have any comments, we are always pleased to hear them. You can contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12-12099 Prague 2. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from me, Sarah Borůvka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.